Stay tuned for In Our Range on the way next, brought to you by Westgate Nursing Rehabilitation and Assisted Living Center.
Good morning and welcome to In Our Range. I'm Mike LeBeau. Thank you for tuning in. Joining me this morning is a voice that will be familiar to longtime WJMS listeners. I'm joined this morning by local artist and historian Larry Peterson. Larry was a part of the WJMS family for 35 years, hosting his segments Pages from the Past and History 101, What They Didn't Teach You in School. He also came up with the name for this segment, for which I'm really thankful. I'm happy to bring Larry back this morning for a check-in and to discuss some of our local history and the opportunities to share that history. Good morning and welcome back to WJMS, Larry.
Good morning, Michael. It feels like old home week. You know, it really... It feels good.
We got the band
behind a microphone.
Getting the band back together, huh?
Yeah, you know, just do a reunion gig. You know, I'm really honored to be able to come on and address some of the things that we've both been talking about.
Yeah,
quite extensively.
Well, I know that our listeners have really missed you, and I'm sure they'd love to hear an update from you. So, how are you doing these days?
Not real well. I had a triple heart attack.
Oh, my gosh.
And I'm COVID and pneumonia all in one time. So it was variety pack. And I ended up in Wausau. The surgeons, and not to mention the hospital as a whole, were just fantastic.
Okay.
I'm, those people really, really are very good at what they do.
Good.
And they saved my life twice. As a matter of fact, one surgeon says, you almost went twice, you know, and I'm like, that's interesting. Plus, you know, I'm beardless while I'm coming in again.
I noticed they trimmed you up, huh?
They sure did.
Cut the hair, too.
But when they took my tail, they braided it and kept it for me.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I don't know what nurse did that or who did that, but I felt that was very thoughtful.
That's very sweet of them to do that. Yeah, I didn't know if you were trying to go for a job interview or what, and then you cut the hair like that.
But I was so grateful for what they did that I donated a dozen, and I mean really well done, Abraham Lincoln's. But they had a lot of beautiful artwork on the walls down there, and the watercolors and all that. And I thought, I'm alive, you know, and it's because of these people. And the nurses and staff, I mean, I swear, you know, some of them were psychic. You know, it's like, I'm thirsty, there's a glass of water. It's like, I don't want to go on and on about it, but when you get that close to death, you know, it sort of modifies the way you look at life. And I'm really in the process of not taking anything for granted.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's a lot of things that I would have been doing with my life, and I wasn't. Going through, enduring something like this, you know, post-surgery and everything else, you know, you're leaking like a faucet half the time. It really does alter the way you look at the world.
Well, I'm sure I'm glad that they took good care of you. And glad to see you up and moving around and in here across the desk from me this morning.
I definitely have to take it easy, but I figure sometime in May and June I'll be front and center. I'll be wandering around in one of the things that we're going to be talking about, which is the Miners Memorial Heritage Park.
Yeah.
I see the possibilities as well as other people that were instrumental in bringing it about. New possibilities. And how we could enhance, not to mention complement, everything that's going on in the downtown area. It's just a matter of sitting down and planning it out and figuring out what you can do and when you can do it. And there is a lot we can do. We got the 100th anniversary of the Pabst Mine disaster, you know, coming up in September. And knowing Ivan will be preparing for that probably 4 months ago.
Yeah. Well, maybe his whole life, really, if we're thinking about Ivan Allen. You know, he's an incredible resource, just a great guy.
Every time I walk down there, I go up that little trail that he made, his history trail. I see people go there and, you know, they stand there in front of that tree for the longest time, and they begin to realize just the magnitude of that accident. And that it was in papers all over the place. What does somebody in California care about 43 miners underground? Well, there's a lot of human drama in there.
A lot of human drama, and those mining accidents weren't uncommon back in the day. They happened all over the country. And we just had an anniversary of a coal mine collapse where 100 from 1911, I think it was. That was last week.
You had one accident in 1892 that took 10. You had some that took 8. You had maybe half a dozen 4s and 3s. And a lot of 2s. Now, if you get down to single minor fatalities, we're talking about 1,150.
At least,
these are like obvious accidents, falling into machinery or down a shaft or killing a fall of earth or something
like
that.
So many that didn't get counted. You know?
And it ought to be taken into consideration a lot more seriously than it is, because it wasn't just the immediate death of the miner. Is what his family was going to have to endure, especially a widow that's got maybe 8 kids, you know. And the old saying that has become almost cliche, $23 on a ham. You know, but then again, I had programs that also looked at miners from the angle of such as the skull of a Finlander,
right.
You know, falling down a shaft, going through a platform, hitting the bottom of the shaft, which was filled with water because the sump wasn't working. And they're coming down there to collect his remains, his fellow countrymen. He's already climbing back to work.
Yeah.
You know, all these stories that are not really connected, other than that mining
that
was
common
dangerous
experience, yeah.
And took a lot of lives. And not to mention all of those that, for years later, even my dad to some degree, you know, that we're still living with the effects of that, having worked underground all those years. My dad was 38 years. You know, and he was, you know, by the time I really appreciated what mining history was all about on the Gugibec Range, his spine was curved. Okay, and a lot of that may have been age, but he used to tell me how when the power wasn't, you know, when they couldn't get sufficient generator power underground for the lighting, and then the machinery would begin to shut down, they were drilling from wraps built out of railroad ties because the sump wasn't working and the water was pouring into the drifts. And I mean, it wasn't going to drown them or anything, but I mean, when you have two, 3 feet of water and it's not going down right away, but you want, you're going, if you can drill, you'll drill.
My goodness.
The comradeship, the fellowship, the ties, you know, were something that I don't think we can really understand or appreciate in many cases today. It wasn't that different from being in the service.
Yeah.
You know, when your life is dependent on the guy next to you because he's part of your drill crew, you know, and they don't call, you know, the one-man drill. We talked about
the
this.
The two-man drill.
The widowmaker, you know. You don't want to be alone with that and then end up having, you know, some slab of, and we hit you when you're alone.
Yeah, so much of the fellowship really had to do with their lives were in each other's hands, and they probably knew the score that no one else really cared outside of their families, so they had to take care of each other and care for each other because they couldn't expect it from the boss or anybody else.
The thing that amazes me, even like in relation to my father, is they had worked all those many years in the mines, but there were so many positive things they said. My dad used to say, look, they put the storm windows up. You know, they paint the house. Yeah, because they want it white. They want it green and white because Ogilvy Norton over in Boston dictated that. Like in Montreal, they knew exactly where the manhole covers are going to go, where your garbage was to be put. You know, I mean, it was benevolent feudalism. That's the best way.
You know, I like that term that you use, the benevolent feudalism, because I think they did just model this workers' economy based on patterns from feudalism and other things, you know?
Look at Pickett Masters magazine. I mean, it's Historical Society. I'm sure it has copies. There's copies around. A lot of it has nothing to do with mining. My sister was on the front cover of Pickett Mather when she was entering kindergarten, going into the Ramsey School. They took a photograph of her and her friend, you know, and there she was on basically a mining publication. If somebody was an outstanding hunter, or if there were a carpenter that really made furniture and things like that, they covered you. I mean, you know, they knew the importance of public relations, because what you were asking these guys to do and what they ended up doing even later on, you wouldn't get away with it today. I don't think so. Maybe in some instances, but I don't know. You know, safety first was in place, especially after the Pabst Mine disaster. So yeah, there was the phenomena of developing hard hats and other safety measures, like with the cages and stuff like that, when you're bringing people, from below to the surface and vice versa. It took a long time for all that to happen. It was dangerous. A lot of people got killed just getting down to work. Somebody accidentally gets jolted, their head goes outside the immediate cage, decapitation.
Happened so quick.
Yes. And there was a lot of that.
As much as we love talking about some of the darker, more violent elements of things, I kind of want to bring it back.
No, but I was going to the other extreme.
Well, so this is what we want to talk about is the Miners Park is an incredible resource in our town right here. And there's miles and miles of bike trails and hiking trails, gardeners. There's a butterfly garden there. And there's some lovely events. And like you mentioned earlier, I also am in love with that display that Ivan made. And this is wild. I had a very similar sense going through that memorial that he made that when I visited the Vietnam Memorial in Washington, D.C. It just felt very humbling and very sacred to walk around that. And so we do all these great things with the park. How can we incorporate and honor more of the history? How can we get more of the history involved and use that as an attraction point for the park?
Let me give you one example very quickly. Mm-hmm. With fund drives, in other words, for maintenance of the park and taking care of costs and stuff like that. Why don't we do a passive fund drive as part of the mining history? They had it underneath their shirt, for crying out loud. Yeah. People love passes.
Yeah, so there are fundraisers that we can do. You've even mentioned to me living histories, walking history tours.
Once or twice a week, either Ivan, maybe me, or somebody. Historical society's got, personnel. Go down there and do the history. Stand there dressed as a miner.
The Emberlight Festival's a great temporary exhibition of art. I think there are opportunities in the park, and you probably agree with me, for permanent memorials that work with the nature of the park, but also acknowledge the heritage and the sacrifice of the ancestors who went down in those mines and did that great work.
When I looked at some of the displays that were involved with the mine, with Emberlight Festival, I got concepts of my own. And I've said this to other people that are history buffs and people that are just, down in the park, because of the high rate of fatality, the unbelievably high rate of fatality and the danger, there needs to be a permanent piece of sculpture that honors that or some sort of a monument. I think the park is evolving beautifully. I really do. I mean, I'm down there a lot, okay? Between bicycles, the possibility of resurrecting something like maybe even the Renaissance Festival, and I don't mean Renaissance Festival per se, but venues that occupy a lot of attention from a lot of people. And that can be done, and you don't have to spend a fortune to do it.
Yeah.
There's
still so much untapped potential in that park. You even mentioned giving lectures and having story time around the old cottonwood tree, which I think is a fantastic idea.
You can have somebody dressed up like Gandorf, with a big, just storytelling, bonfires, marshmallows, hot dogs, Everybody goes to the tree. They're drawn to it like a magnet.
The tree is a living memorial of this space going back to the old growth forest, It's seen it all.
The trail's great. I mean, you can get in, but flower beds.
Yeah.
Community garden. Yeah. If they can do it in Nori, why can't we do it in the park?
And something else that just popped into my head here is they have the walking tour around downtown. You get to these different spots and they have things that you can listen to. Be a wonderful idea for the park as well. Walk to this spot and then here's what happened here. Here's who owned this mine. Here's who ran this shaft. And so with all the people who are hiking in the park, they can also get these lessons in history and feel more connected to the space.
Well, beyond history itself, it does have a lot to do with history too, but the equivalent like the Hiawatha Festival, remember in 1964, 65? Man, this place was hopping. To have the president's wife come up here to look at our flowers,
Yeah.
People knew how to market. They were aggressive in getting us on the map. Yeah. If we could resurrect that, and I'm not saying it isn't out there, it's just that we need to coordinate it.
Yeah.
We need to put it all in one room and under one roof, and then what are we going to do now? Because we got all the stuff that's coming up in summer. We can complement it. We can make it that much better by adding the park.
Well, maybe there's some folks out there listening this morning who got some ideas and want to get involved. I'd be happy to hear them. Larry would be happy to hear them. You can find us and talk about them. We can get some things going to do in addition to all the lovely things that already happen over there.
You got, let me have some sweet ideas. Other people go, hey, the renter's back. But it's just, I feel passionate about it. I feel I see the possibilities. I may be wrong. You know, it may be what I call a well-founded opinion.
A good idea.
But I've been wrong.
A good idea is a good idea, Larry. And I think that's a good place to leave it this morning is talk about the...
One more thing.
Yes, sir.
Important. The educational aspects. I'd like to... If we celebrated the 100th anniversary of Luther L. Wright, okay, as well as the other schools in the district, as well as on the range, there ought to be field trips somewhere.
Yeah. Well, I think we can philosophize about that, but we're out of time. I think it is a wonderful idea to bring that to the minds of people.
If you do like what I used to do with the memorial buildings, I used to take classes through that building all day, from morning to the end of the school day. You know, and you figure, how are you going to interest, you know, somebody that's 7 or 8 or something like that? It's amazingly easy. All I used to hear is Mr. Peterson. They wanted to know.
Yeah.
They were just absorbing it.
Yeah.
Imagine if you bring them down there.
Oh, yeah.
Deer wandering around and stuff. I see the possibility.
And this is their history. You know, these kids growing up here, they are the great grandchildren and grandchildren of the folks that helped build this place. And so you start talking about it, something is going to ring true in them, right?
I mean, with the superb bike trails we got and everything else, just keep making it that much more special.
Yeah.
It'll complement everything that's already there. Anything that's pre-existing is only going to benefit from it.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to get off on a tangent, but
Larry,
that's me, okay?
Larry, it wouldn't be on you on WJMS if you didn't, you know? This is what we're here for. So I'm so happy to have you back this morning, and we'll get you back again because I got some other things
really
I want to...
It feels nice.
Yeah, it does feel good. It's good to see you smile, too.
I remember going all the way back to Harry Rizzi and DG Paul Leakey. DG used to go, cheesy pizza. The way she used to promote pizza or advertise or whatever, I was salivating on the counter, you know? She was one of a kind.
Next time I get you back in here, we'll talk about the history of this radio station.
And Harry Rizzi, the legacy
Harry Rizzi.
Of Harry Rizzi.
Yes, sir.
He was something else.
I think people would really love to hear that.
Okay.
Larry, it's good to see you smile. Thanks for coming back this morning.
Thank you.
Yeah, you have a great day.
You too.
My guest this morning is local artist and historian and WJMS veteran and longtime favorite of our listeners, Mr. Larry Peterson. Super grateful to have him back today and have him smiling in front of me. Thank you for listening to In Our Range. We'll see you next week.